Good morning. It's great to be here with you. So first of all, I have no disclosure to disclose, no financial relationships or commercial interests that's relevant to this presentation. I also want to let you know that, so the title of my talk is Early Complex Trauma, Sexual and Non-Sexual Trauma on PTSD and Self-Injurious Behaviors Among Homeless Youth. In fact, I'm going to be presenting findings in addition to PTSD and self-injurious behaviors, the depression as well. So I changed the title to Early Complex Sexual and Non-Sexual Trauma on the Mental Health of Homeless Youth. Anyway, just so that you know, we have a lot to go over. So youth homelessness is a pervasive problem, as you can see by these sort of startling statistics, and in across the U.S. as well as in L.A. County, where the study took place. Unfortunately, homeless youth are disproportionately impacted by high amounts of trauma, abuse, and neglect, and once they're on the streets, they're further exposed to violence and victimization. There is substantial research indicating a strong relationship between earlier and later life trauma, not surprisingly. And in this talk where we're talking about complex trauma, I want to share with you some of the definitions of complex trauma. So complex trauma has been defined as exposure to one or multiple forms of trauma repeatedly for a sustained period of time. It entails, that it often begins early in life. It's typically interpersonal in nature and occurs under circumstances where victims are often powerless to escape because many times the perpetrators of these violence are caretakers of these children or trusted adults. As Leah has illustrated in her talk, as well as in a lot of the literature, complex trauma and just trauma in general has significant mental health and physical health impact in the immediate short term as well as in the long term for these individuals across the lifespan. So it's really important for us to better understand what the impact is for complex trauma for homeless youth. So in trying to operationalize complex trauma, we've decided to incorporate two important ideas from the literature. The first is that traumas often co-occur, as, again, you saw in Leah's presentation, interestingly enough, about sort of summing the different types of traumas that have occurred for these individuals. And the idea also of that child sexual abuse is a particular devastating and detrimental types of abuse compared to other types of trauma that homeless youth may experience, and child sexual abuse, perhaps because of the personally invasive nature of that. And so we created a variable that we called early compound trauma that basically allowed us to categorize individuals into four mutually exclusive groups. The first one, what we call zero early trauma type. So, of course, we're not saying that every homeless youth are traumatized by, but however, some of them, we only assessed a range of early trauma, so it's possible that we didn't capture all of that. So the first group includes individuals who report zero trauma. The second group includes people who reported one of the traumas that we assessed. And then the third group included individuals who've been polyvictimized, who've had reported multiple types of trauma, but that trauma does not include sexual abuse. And then the final category, which we think is sort of the most risky type of being victimized, is the polyvictimization that includes sexual abuse. So to understand the question of how trauma impacts mental health for homeless youth, we thought that we should start out asking the question, well, what is the relative importance of the specific trauma experiences on mental health outcomes? And what is the relative importance of earlier versus later traumas in predicting mental health? And when I say earlier traumas in this context, I'm referring to traumas that have occurred prior to becoming homeless. And later trauma refers to traumas that has occurred while they're homeless or since becoming homeless. We have a couple of ideas or hypotheses. We expect, again, consistent with the literature, that sexual abuse would be more detrimental to mental health. we expect that earlier traumas would have a stronger influence on mental health as well. And then the next step then is to understand, well, how does then our conceptualization of complex trauma using this compound trauma variable impact mental health? And we expect that, again, the polyvictimization inclusive of sexual abuse to be more detrimental, in particular, compared to those who have been polyvictimized but was not sexually abused. So quickly, I want to go over the methodology. So participants were recruited through the agencies from the Hollywood Youth Partnership. And participants, youth who were 13 to 25 years old and who had been homeless or precariously housed in the last year were eligible to participate. And our sample size is 389. I know it's not in there. The eligible youth completed a 60 to 90 minute survey at various locations in the field. And here are some of the traumas that we assessed. What we call early trauma, we looked at things like physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, / neglect. And we also created a variable which we call adverse home life or adverse home environment, which is sort of the kinds of things like witnessing a violence where parents or family members in the household are using substances or alcohol in excess. And also where the family members are engaged in some sort of drug trafficking. In addition to earlier traumas, we looked at later trauma, which are trauma, again, that has happened since becoming homeless, such as physical assault, sexual assault, harassment, and intimate partner violence. And we sort of lumped the intimate partner violence of different types, including sexual, emotional, and physical types in the IPV. The dependent variables of interest, as mentioned, is we looked at depressive symptoms using the CESD. We looked at PTSD symptoms using the Child PTSD Reaction Index. And we looked at history of self-injury using a single dichotomous item, and this is a lifetime prevalence of self-injury behavior. So because, again, due to just not enough time, I just want to share with you some of the descriptive findings related to the early traumas. So over 80% of our sample reported at least one early trauma. And here are the distribution. 71% reported having come from an adverse home environment, 59% having reported some sort of emotional abuse or neglect, 51% physical abuse, and 33% of our sample reported sexual abuse. And I think it's sort of standing contrast, again, from the sample that Leah had mentioned, which is, I think, was like 10 or about 11% from the sort of the general sample. So this is a highly traumatized sample, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And a little over half of our sample reported experiencing more than one type of early traumas. So I'm going to jump into the multivariate findings. And before I do, I just want to explain to you how we came about this. So we used hierarchical regression analysis in coming up with our multivariate findings. And what we did is we sort of divided our variables into three steps. The first step we entered into the equation are the variables like socio-demographic variables, like age, gender, ethnicity. So variables that we found to be significantly related to mental health for homeless youth. The second step, we included earlier trauma, so the traumas that have occurred prior to homelessness, the ones that I've mentioned, as well as other experiences that is particularly relevant for this homeless population. So we looked at history of being involved in foster care as well as having been incarcerated. Again, this is prior to becoming homeless. And then in the final step, we included variables that are what we call later traumas. And in addition to those ones that I've mentioned, we also looked at things that are relevant to being homeless. And some of our preliminary data, we were seeing that, for example, the issue of having spent a night on the street in the last 30 days, that's not fit for human habitation to be an important factor. And so we included that also in that third step in the analysis. So all of the findings here sort of have been controlled for these socio-demographic factors as well as significant covariates. To address the first research question, which is, well, how is sexual abuse related to mental health symptoms? We did find that sexual abuse predicted current depressive symptoms and nearly significantly for PTSD symptoms, again, after controlling for later traumas. And when we looked at the effect sizes, sort of the percentage each of the different blocks contribute to the explaining the variance of, you know, each of our outcome, we observed that for depressive symptoms, earlier traumas explained about 6% and later traumas explained about 9% of the variance. In contrast, we observed that earlier trauma explained 14% of the variance in the current PTSD symptoms of the homeless youth compared to later traumas, which is at 4%. So clearly, there's some differences in sort of how earlier traumas impact current mental health symptoms and the different kinds of current mental health symptoms. And then, in addition, among early traumas, we found that coming from an adverse home environment was also important in predicting PTSD symptoms and history of self-injury behaviors after accounting for all of the significant covariates and later traumas. So now, moving on to the second research question, which is like what about the complex trauma or the compound trauma variable that we created, and these analyses, again, follow similar steps that we took in the previous analyses. And we replaced in the second step the set of earlier traumas with this compound trauma variable. And here's what we found. Not surprisingly, polyvictimization that included sexual abuse led to higher PTSD symptoms compared to those who did not report early trauma or a single early trauma. And consistent with what we expected, those who have been polyvictimized, but that polyvictimization including sexual abuse, was a significant predictor of PTSD symptoms and resulted in a marginal increase in odds of self-injury compared to those who've been polyvictimized, but part of that polyvictimization did not include sexual abuse. So the findings related to sexual abuse is consistent with what we've observed in the literature. And I think also what was unexpected and interesting was sort of the finding related to the adverse home environment. And the reason being that I think a lot of times when we think of abuse, we think of very overt kinds of things like being slapped or, you know, sort of obvious kinds of things, but coming from an adverse home environment, like witnessing violence and just being in an environment where it's not conducive to the upbringing of the child can also have important impact on mental health. Again, just highlighting sort of there is differential impact of earlier traumas versus later traumas on the mental health of homeless youth, and that, you know, in terms of how that's important for clinicians or service providers is to think about measuring a wider spectrum and a wider range of traumas and acknowledging that some of these traumas can have a different impact on different types of mental health problems. And also, we think that the finding with regards to finding differences between different kinds of polyvictimization highlights that it's useful to think of alternate ways to think about complex trauma beyond just sort of summing up the variables as, you know, I have, you know, somebody had five of these traumas versus somebody has two, and to begin to sort of think of more nuanced ways to conceptualize complex trauma. So that's that. And, of course, there are limitations to the study that, you know, this is a cross-sectional study. It's based on self-reports. This study took place in Los Angeles, so it's not necessarily generalizable to homeless youth populations from other places. So all of those things are true. But in addition, we did not assess, so the study did not set out to study complex trauma per se, as defined in the literature currently. And so we did not ask about the chronicity of each trauma experience. We didn't ask about the severity of the abuse. And we certainly did not differentiate. We're not able to ask who perpetrated the abuse, whether it's somebody they trust, somebody they didn't trust. And I think all of these factors would definitely, again, give us a little bit more information about how complex trauma impacts mental health. We focus primarily on interpersonal trauma and then consider other types of trauma like the loss of parents or circumstances that are outside the control of the participants. I mean, we try to, you know, incorporate some of the things that are important like experiences of foster care or incarceration, but again, I think future studies should include a wider range of trauma that we assess with homeless youth. We also want to acknowledge that we use an imperfect assessment of PTSD. The study was conducted in 2007 when I think we were still using the DSM-4. Now the DSM-5 has a more comprehensive definition of complex trauma. And finally, a couple of our variables are represented by dichotomous items and methodologically, that's not ideal. So we think that overall our results are consistent with the literature and I think contribute to the discussion and thinking about what complex trauma means for homeless youth. But more studies are needed, clearly, to examine sort of how complex trauma histories impact currently homeless youth's ability to make use of existing service to exit homelessness. We think, again, that we need to have a broader spectrum, measure a broader spectrum of traumatic experiences for homeless youth. Excuse me. And to also look at the comorbidities of mental health symptoms, such as, you know, the co-occurrence of depression, PTSD, and other things, affect dysregulation. And in addition to mental health symptoms, we think that we also should understand, well, how is these complex trauma experiences related to other things like substance use and other risk-taking behaviors. Some of the traditional models of treatment, particularly those that rely on reunifying homeless youth with their families, may not work well for some of these homeless youth who are victimized by the family or from people they trust. So we think that it would be really important for some of the treatment to be embedded within services that have already succeeded in engaging in with these youth, and for, again, just to emphasize that, you know, we're beginning to really understand and appreciate that a lot of these homeless youth come from very or have backgrounds that have very complex trauma histories, and to be able to fully assess that and understand how that's impacting their life before we can really truly help them exit homelessness in a more permanent basis. I would like to acknowledge the funders of this research, the California Endowment and the California Wellness Foundation. And definitely, of course, my co-authors on this manuscript, Dr. Leslie Clark and Dr. Lauren Malott from the Division of Adolescent and Young Adult Medicine at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, Susan Rabinovitz, the original PI of the study, as well as other staff members who've made important contributions to this study. In addition, we want to thank the agencies of the Hollywood Homeless Youth Partnership who provided instrumental support and just working with us in every step of the way in getting this data. And, of course, most importantly, we want to thank the youth who shared their experiences with us. We did not differentiate. The question was whether we distinguished youth who were thrown out of the house versus they left on their own, and we did not. I don't know if we asked. I don't think so. I will check.
Did you eliminate kids from the sample that had more severe?
Yeah, I mean, I think because this was not administered by clinicians, this survey, and so we, you know, and it's like a 60 to 90 minute survey with lots of other questions. So we weren't really able to say for certainty, oh, this person has a severe mental health problem. So, yeah, no, unfortunately, yes.
I was wondering about, we know that in the homeless population, there's often a higher percentage of people identify as LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you had thought about
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one of the things that we considered, and that's one of the variables in the sort of the first block of the variables that we looked at. But at least in this analysis, that did not come to be an important predictor. But I think part of it is we didn't have a huge LGBT sample from this study, so but definitely, definitely. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, I brought tables. Thank you. Now I can use it. So basically, this is a proxy variable. I mean, being involved in foster care is a very complicated thing in and of itself. And so we basically define that as having been removed from home by Child Protective Services, and 40% of our sample have at some point prior to becoming homeless have been involved in that. Let's see. I think this factor, again, when we enter into the regression findings equations, I feel like some of these impacts fell out. Like at the bivariate level, it's very important in terms of mental health, clearly, but I don't think it stayed in the model. But yeah, thank you. Oh, sorry. One more time. Maybe at the end. Thank you, guys.